So this is the part where I have to remember the password on my, there we go. Good. Phew. You know, I have a very simple message this morning, and it's Connect Sunday, so you may have noticed when you came in on the sides over here, there's a bunch of different groups, tables where you can sign up to get connected into a small group, and all the Franklin groups are over here, and everything else is over here, all the other than Franklin. And there's just a lot of different ways that you can get connected. And today is one of those days where we say, hey, this is so important. This is so important that you get connected that we're going to stop and we're going to pause and we're going to allow a little room for you to get plugged in. So that's what today is all about. My name is Jimmy Harris. I am the executive pastor over all of the adult ministries here. And but for 10 years, my sole focus here has been life groups. That has been the main focus of my ministry for the last 10 years in this place. And my heart, my passion is that everybody would get connected, that everybody would be connected and growing in this church, that no one in this room would be going through their struggles and their difficulties and the problems in their life alone. Because Christianity is a team sport. It's not an individual sport. You can't really do it by yourself on your own. And so we're going to be jumping into a passage this morning in the book of Joshua, chapter 3, starting in verse 14. But before I go there, I'm going to summarize just real quick. I'm going to summarize the book of Exodus, okay? In a minute. So just to give you a basic overview, right? The Israelites are enslaved. They are being mistreated. God comes and does a tremendous amount of miracles to set them free. And while they're leaving, right, Pharaoh begins to chase them, and they get to the Red Sea, and it looks like they're trapped, but God opens the Red Sea, and they cross on dry ground, and they get to the other side, and the waters come crashing down on the pursuing armies of the Egyptians, and they are set free. And it's a short little journey over to the promised land if you go straight, right? But they don't go straight, right? They immediately, they go and they get there and they send out some spies to kind of go check out the land and see what's going on in the promised land. And it turns out that the promised land was very fruitful and also full of giants. The people there were big and strong, and the cities were fortified. And so when they came back, they were afraid. And 10 out of 12 of the spies say, we can't do it. We're like little grasshoppers compared to these people. They're going to just wipe us out if we try to go in and take the land that God promised us to go take. But two, right, of those spies faithfully believed that God could do it. He can do it. And so the same God that got them through the Red Sea would get them across the little Jordan River, right, and into the battle that they needed to go take on across that water. And that's where we're picking up here is in Joshua chapter 3, verse 14. Because after they sent those spies, they spent 40 years wandering in the desert. 40 years wandering in the desert because they didn't believe that the God who opened a sea for them to walk through couldn't open a little tiny river, right, and defeat their enemies. And so that's where we find ourselves in Joshua chapter 3. Starting in verse 14. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water, now the Jordan overflows all its banks through the time of the harvest, the waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away. At Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those flowing down towards the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. You know, sometimes you have to get your feet in the water before God shows up and does the miracle. Sometimes you have to get your feet all the way in the water, right, before he shows up. And that's what happened here. And the truth is the big things have already happened. And I think this is true for our walks with Christ, is that the big thing's already been done. It's finished. Christ died on the cross for our sins and set us free from slavery. He opened a Red Sea that we could never get through, right? They walked through on dry ground. Why is it that we get through all of that and Jesus sets us free and gives us a new name and a new life in him, and then we get up to this little creek, right? We get up to this river. If you've seen the Jordan River, there are points, of course, that are treacherous and large and overflowing at certain times of the year. But it's just a river compared to an ocean, and we get up to the edge of that, and we won't even put our feet in the water. And that's what I'm talking about today. A lot of people have tried Christianity, and from their perspective, it failed. They tried it, but the way they tried it was they came right up to the edge of real community, and they won't get their feet wet. Jesus set them free from their sins. They walked up, but now they don't have any community. They're not connected. They don't know anybody, really. And they're walking out their life very much like the Israelites did, wandering around in the desert for a really long time. But there's a straight line that you can walk into the promised land, which is community. The straight line, right, is to follow God across the Jordan, and he's going to defeat the giants. That's the way. And so that's what we're talking about today. And I'm just going to be really clear that my intention today is not small. It isn't for you to think about it or consider it or pray about it. I want every single person in this room to get connected. If you're not connected already, today's your day. And here we are, standing at the precipice, right? Right up to the edge of the Jordan River. And God said he was going to open it up, and he did, but he didn't do it until they put their feet in the water. But before we dive in, I just want to watch together this little video advertisement on the screen here.
Are you tired of small groups always getting into your business, trying to get you to share your feelings, discuss your past, confess your sins? Are you just looking for a place to kick it, network, maybe get some free grub? Me too. That's why I created what I believe to be the world's first openly shallow small group. We're not here to deal with messy stuff like feelings and emotions. You got problems? You deal with them. You're an adult. Life ain't easy. So stop the pity party. We all have our issues. We don't really want to do life together. Frankly, at Shallow Small Group, we try not to do much of anything at all. You'll never hear us use the term, unpack that thought. We're sure it's packed away for a really good reason. And you'll never hear us use the term accountability unless you're talking about someone who deals with numbers. Hey, dude, thanks for doing my taxes. You have great accountability. And spiritual growth? Who wants growth? I had a growth removed last week. There's no pressure here to remember each other's name.
What's going on, buddy?
Oh, hey, man. How's it going?
That's good. Good.
Oh, dude.
Captain, what's going on?
We know you have a name, and that's the important thing. Group discussion? You got tickets to the big game? Sweet. Let's spend some time on that. Oh, you and your wife are struggling financially? There's tension in the relationship? That's not really the vibe we're going for. We avoid conflict like the plague.
Who wants cake? Come on,
get it! And there will never, ever be an awkward silence. That's our guarantee to you. We hate bad theology as much as the next guy, and we know the surest way to prevent bad theology is to avoid theology altogether. And outreach? This is the only outreach you'll ever have to do. Some people say we're superficial. But hey, the word super isn't superficial. I mean, who doesn't want to be super? Shallow small group. Because when things get too deep, people drown. Won't you join us?
That's hilarious. Yeah, have you ever been, you think about like a shallow small group commercial, and I thought, well, can I show that? Is that sort of the opposite of the vibe we're going for is this, right? Like the idea that you would get in plugged into a group and everyone just goes, hi, and is nice. That's not real community, right? Yeah. We want the real thing. And what makes it so funny is it can be so true. So, what's sad about it is some people, that's been their experience when they went to a small group, right? And there's a lot of reasons. I mean, in the last 20 years, I have heard 1 million reasons that people don't want to be in a life group. I've heard them, but I've distilled them down to top 10. And so I want to share those with you right now. So the top 10 reasons not to join a life group. Now, these are all real reasons. They're good reasons. So I'm getting serious now. These are good reasons. The first one is I have other things I need to get done, and then I'll think about it. It's like, hey, life is hard. I've got a lot going on. This is the bad season reason, right? I'm not in a good season to be doing more stuff. I'm in a season where I'm doing a different thing. Anybody ever heard this? So the season that you're in and the season maybe that you'll always be in is a season where you aren't connected, right? That's the first one. I don't really need to be in the life group. I can grow spiritually on my own. And that's kind of true, right? There's a lot that you can do, right, with the Lord by yourself, right? Jesus spent time alone. Jesus was alone with the Father. There's a lot of ways that you can get into the Word of God, that you can listen to podcasts and read books and get closer to Jesus. That's true, right? But there's just something a little bit missing, right? Or I'm afraid that people will find out I don't have my life together. For sure that's gonna happen, right? This is actually a guarantee, and I'll just tell you, I'm trying to be upfront with you that if you get in a life group, you can only hide for so long, and the reality is that you're gonna go 1 week when you're mad at your spouse, or you're gonna go 1 week and you're having a bad week, or you're gonna not wanna be there, and who you are and all of your messed up parts and all the things that are not yet redeemed will slip out, and people will actually get to know you and all of your warts. That is a realistic fear. It's realistic. They are going to get to know you and find out that you don't have your life together, because I don't know anybody that has their life together. Not one. In fact, the people that have their life together, that like are the Barbie kind of people, like the perfect kind of people that have it all together, they scare me, right? Because they're just really good at hiding it. That's all that is. So that's just the reality, right? Or maybe you think nobody in the group is really going to understand me. Well, I know this one's true. Because people are so stinking complicated, aren't they? Aren't people complicated and messy? I thought I would understand my wife. We've been married for 25 years. I do not have a clue still. Frequently, she said, that is not what I said, or that is not what I meant at all, or you don't get what I'm saying, or I've been saying this for 20 years and you finally heard it, right? This is normal, right? No one can completely, perfectly understand you, right? Or maybe you're afraid it will be draining. This is another good one, because it can be. Have you ever been in a group where somebody just goes on and on and on and on? It's like the me monster just comes right up, and they're like, me, 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 me. And it's like, okay, enough about you, right? That drains me fast. Or maybe you're afraid of getting stuck in a group with people you don't like. This is a guarantee. Okay, so if you get in a small group, I can guarantee you there's at least somebody in there that you're just not gonna like. And isn't that normal? I mean, do you really like very many people? I don't. is people are the worst. So there's, and you know, this one's pretty realistic. There's a lot of other fun things I'd rather be doing, right? Maybe you have the fear of missing out. There's a lot of fun things to do. This might not be one of them. Or there's, you know, I can't sit still long enough to be in a group like that. I can't stand sitting in a circle and talking. This drives me bananas, right? Well, guess what? Well, I'll just let that go. Now, maybe it just drives you crazy. That's hard. It's hard to sit still, right? So number two, my life is fine the way it is, and I don't want to feel pressured to change it. Okay, that's realistic. You're like, man, if I get into a group, I'm going to have to grow and change and face some things, right? That's true. Or the number one reason is I am just too busy. I'm too busy. I'm overwhelmed, and I don't have time for one more thing. And that is also true. Literally, everyone's schedules are so packed, right? Even if you're retired, even if you have nothing going on, even if your life gives you a lot of freedom, that freedom has been filled up to every square inch. And it feels like, man, if I add one more thing, I am going to drown. And that is extremely realistic. So in conclusion, having deeper relationships is too hard and too messy, and you probably don't really want to do what it takes to have it. The end. Let's pray and we'll... Right, no. Jimmy, you're talking me out of it, right? You're doing the opposite. You're actually, you showed the shallow group, you talked about how group is hard, you said how relationship is messy. There's people gonna be in there, right? Now, these are all really actually great reasons, right? Because relationships come with a high cost. The reality is that being in relationship with other people is going to cost you something. I've attended or led groups for the past 23 years. And so I've been in a ton of different groups. I've been in men's groups. I've been in young adults groups. I've been in college groups. I've been in studies. I've been in classes. I've been in, I've been in so many different groups in so many different houses, and many of the times it was in my own house. And, you know, when I look back on all of it, right, I think, man, it was funny when I was thinking about it, I was thinking, man, I've had some very mature groups, right? I've had some really weird groups, some fun groups, some supportive groups, some total disaster groups. But as I look back over my life and I think about all of my ministry efforts, right? All the classes I've taught, all the times I've preached, all the workshops and marriage work things and all the ministry efforts that I have put in my life. And I look at all of it, being in ministry for 25 years, and I know without a doubt, the place where I've had the most influence, the place where I've had the biggest impact was in my small groups. Nothing is even close. It is those investments in specific, real relationships that has made the difference. It makes the biggest impact on me, right? And it has made the biggest impact in the world. I think a lot of us want to have impact. We want to have influence, right? We might even want to change the world in some ways. We look around and we have a lot of things that we're frustrated about and mad about and that we're wishing would change in the world, and we want to be part of a change in the world. But when it really comes down to it, the biggest influence you have is those few people that God has very intentionally put around you that you would invest in them. That was the way he did it. And that's the way that he has invited us. So when you invest in a few people, there is going to be something that changes in you, right? So I want you to open yourself up to this idea of being a disciple maker. This idea that God has prepared you to have influence on whatever level with a few people. God has called all of us into that. About 2 weeks ago, I found a note from somebody I invested in I think we met for about a year and a half. And I invested a lot of time in this person, and he had written me this note, and I put it in a book, and then I lost it for years, and it fell out of the book. I just wanted to read this to you. And it says this: "Thank you for leading me to Jesus. You're the only person I've ever met who will listen to everything I say, ignore all of it, and tell me I need Jesus. When I get tired of that, you don't try a different approach. You stick with Jesus. Thank you for the time you've spent meeting with me. Thank you for helping me see Jesus." So I have that on my desk now as a reminder that it's those little relational, over a long period of time, efforts that make the biggest difference. But you know what? I'm no hero in this story because I didn't want to meet with him. I had no desire whatsoever to meet with this guy. I had to make myself go. I remember it was at Chick-fil-A, and I love Chick-fil-A, especially the milkshakes, cookies and cream. And so I had to make myself do this. I had to drag myself to do it, actually. But after I made myself go the first few times, it actually turned into a great relationship, and it became a joy, right? Because this was a person who was really hungry to want to know how to follow Jesus. See, by my nature, I'm actually kind of a loner. I don't know if you know this about me. I know I'm up in front of everybody talking, but I'm an introvert. Sunday mornings just drain me to the bone. That's a lot of talking to a lot of people. I'm an introvert. I go kicking and screaming to life group almost every week, right? But every time I do that, I'm glad that I did it. I'm so glad I went, but it's always after. Is anyone else like that? It's not always right away that you get this experience, right? But in the long run, I'm always amazed at what God does with just the simplicity, right? The simplicity of remaining committed to a few people over a long period of time. There's something powerful that happens. I love watching the TV show Alone. Has anybody seen Alone? No, okay, well, you need to know about this show. This is a great show. It's a survivalist show that's on the History Channel, and basically they drop people off in the middle of nowhere, and they have a few things to survive, and that's it. They have no food, and they're in the Arctic or somewhere terrible that you wouldn't want to be dropped off, and they're hundreds of miles from anybody, and they have a button they can push to give up at any point. And the last man or woman standing wins. And they're all alone, and they videotape themselves, and they survive. And you watch these people eating squirrels and trying to catch fish and in frigid areas with all the snow. And these people are tough. These people are survivalists. These people are Navy SEALs, right? And they are lasting 5-6 days, and they're pushing that button. And I'm fascinated, because I'm fascinated by people. When I watch the show, I'm a people watcher, right? I love watching this show because people that I would think would never, ever give up, they quit, they break, they fall apart. You know what breaks them? It's not starvation. It's not that they're freezing. What breaks them down, what makes them push the button every single time is they can't stand being alone. There's something inherent deep down in our souls, right, that was built by God for relationship. The entire universe was good, right? The only thing that was not good in the entire universe was that Adam was alone. There was a gap in perfect Adam in the Garden of Eden. There was a hole that was missing. That hole was built on purpose. That hole was designed from the very beginning because we were created for real connection. And I'll tell you why. It's because we all need to be known and to be loved. To have somebody look us in the eye when we're wrong. To have people notice when you're struggling. To have a more three-dimensional view of God. Because there's one truth, right, when we study the scripture. That's what the Bible says, right? But there's a lot that you don't see in scripture. There's a lot that you miss. And when you're with other people who love God, you've learned things about who God is that you would never learn by yourself. There are things that other people see and speak, and you begin to see a three-dimensional view of what God is like. You know, we all need to be able to ask hard questions. If we just listen to sermons and go home and listen to sermons and go home, and all we do is have truth coming in and we never ask a single question, are we really gonna learn anything? If we never ask the question, well, what does that mean? Or how do I do that? Or I didn't even understand what he said about this. If we can't ask the hard questions about life with people that we trust, with people that love us, how are we gonna grow? But I would say one of the biggest needs that we have, and this is why it's so painful to be connected, is it directly confronts our self-centeredness. It directly confronts our self-centeredness because by knowing and loving other people, you will be confronted with your own self-absorption. And it sounds bad, but it's also freeing because you're like, well, I'm kind of thankful for my wife now that I've been in this group for a while because I see their marriage and yikes. I'm just kidding. No. No, but it's true. Like, you become grateful for things. You become aware of things. You start to see things that you kind of have to make yourself, right, be in these positions. You're putting yourself, just like working out or anything else, you're putting yourself in position on purpose as a discipline to be in biblical community. That's what it is. It is, why is it hard? Why is it hard to be in shape? It's because it's painful. It's difficult. You have to be consistent. You have to be disciplined to do it. Because we all have a million reasons to do life on our own. Timothy Keller said this, to be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God. It's what we need more than anything. It liberates us from pretense, humbles us out of our own self-righteousness, and fortifies us for any difficulty life can throw at us. What was Jesus's strategy to reach the world? He had one strategy. And most people would say, well, he died on the cross. And yes, the door is shut unless Jesus goes to the cross. But what was his strategy? His strategy was he invested in a few men over a long period of time, and then he left. Which sounds on paper like a terrible strategy because he put the church in the hands of screwed up men. And he said, further the gospel by knowing, loving, and investing in others, right? It's a strategy that on paper looks like it would never work. And this church, you know what we're trying to do here. Our definition is crystal clear. This is what we're up to, right? This is what we're trying to do. Is Jesus made disciples. We want to be a part of what Jesus did, and we want to further what Jesus did, right? Because what is a disciple? A disciple is just simply somebody who follows Jesus, is being changed by Jesus, and is on mission with Jesus. The only part that's not there is, alone or together. And I feel like if we try to follow Jesus and be changed by him and be on mission with him alone, it is going to be a disaster. So what does it mean to follow? Follow, just very simply, reminder, following Jesus. You can't follow Jesus unless Jesus is risen from the dead. You know you can't follow Jesus unless he's alive. The resurrection is built into the idea of following Jesus. Because if Jesus is alive, then I can interact with him. Jesus can be part of my life. Jesus can speak into things. Jesus can actually lead and guide me. So if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, a relationship with God where you can speak and be heard and hear from God back, then it is very difficult to follow Jesus, especially if your Jesus is dead. If your Jesus died on the cross for your sins, the end, then how are you going to follow him unless he rose again and now he's alive and you can have a relationship with him to this day? You can have a present tense relationship with Jesus. That's following Jesus, being changed. You can't stay the way that you are and follow Jesus. You can't do it. You will be changed. And plus, we don't want to stay the same, do we? Anybody want to stay the same? Everybody here just thrilled with the way that they are already? Right? Does anyone want to remain exactly how you are right now? No, you want to be transformed. You want to be made new. And mission. I think mission is the hardest one to understand because mission isn't about you. See, mission is when I am intentionally making disciples of Jesus and I'm giving away something that goes to the third and the fourth generation. So when I teach my son how to drive a car, I'm also teaching my grandsons. That's mission. See, I don't just want my sons to be able to drive. I want them to be good dads. So not only do I want to teach them how to drive, how I teach them how to drive matters, right? So even if my dad taught me how to drive and, you know, and we were both crying by the end of it, right? And I think, I want to do this different, right? I want to do this different. When I have kids, I want them to learn how to drive and to know that I love them, right? And man, that's what it's all about, isn't it? I mean, isn't that absolutely what discipleship is? Discipleship goes not just to one generation, it goes to the third and to the fourth generation. It's all about what you teach, yes, but also how you teach it. Because everything we do matters. What we do in this life echoes into eternity. And that's good news and bad news. It's good news that everything you do, it matters. But that also means every wrong thing that you do, right? It matters. See, the problem is you're already making disciples. People think I'm always trying to talk them into making disciples. It's too late. You're already making disciples. Everyone is already making disciples. Did you know that? Because you're following Jesus, the best you know how, and people are watching you. That doesn't mean that you just because you're already doing it on accident doesn't mean that you couldn't do it better intentionally, right? See, mission is all about who we invest in and how we invest in them to the third and the fourth generations. So the single target of this church is discipleship, helping people to follow Jesus. It's simply people coming alongside other people as we learn to follow Jesus together. See, the call on every single believer is to make disciples. It is not the job of the church. It's the job of the church. It's all of us. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, Jesus said this, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I'm the boss. I have all authority. Jesus through the cross has been now coronated as king of the universe, right? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So everyone following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and on mission with Jesus together. But what does it actually mean to make disciples, right? It's just simply invested. You're available and you invest. You're available and you invest in a few. I mean, the truth is, the disciples didn't know what they were doing, right? They were just regular people. walking alongside regular people, helping them to know and follow Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. They didn't know what they were doing. They did the best they could. They couldn't do it perfectly. It's a lot like parenting. It's like, you don't know what you're doing. You do the best you can, and you hope for the best. Right? That's discipleship. And that's why we're all in this room. You know we're all in this room because we are the great, 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 great grandchildren of the disciples that the disciples made. The reason you're in this room is because of discipleship. Jesus invested in a few, and those people invested in a few, and those people invested in a few, and it has been a chain that has reached all the way here. And a decision that we have to make is whether that chain goes to the third and the fourth generation or whether it stops with us. So just remember, there's no experts in discipleship, just like there's no expert parents. You can be a perfect parent and have terrible kids. You can be a terrible parent and have great kids. Right? But you love your kids, and so you invest in them, a few people, for a long period of time. There's no experts in discipleship. I'm going to repeat that. There are no experts in discipleship. Nobody knows what they're doing. Nobody knows exactly how to do it. But they make themselves, if they are willing and available, I'm telling you, and I've challenged people to this over and over again, and it always comes true. Like, so hear this. This is a word that is absolutely true. If you consecrate yourself before God and say, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to do it. But I am willing to make disciples, to invest my life in a few people that you put in my path. There will be a line coming out of your door. There's no shortage of orphans in the kingdom. They're everywhere. There's so many people that have been born in Christ and left, and they've been figuring it out on their own ever since. There are so many hungry, hurting people that need help and support and love. And that's what we need. We just need regular, imperfect people to step up today. To step up and step in and to invest in a few. The Lord always moves in powerful ways when we do this, right? And so I want to challenge every person here to step up and to step in. You know, some of you need to step up. You know, you have a lot to offer and you're not sharing it. God has given you things and you're not giving it away. You're just keeping it. And some of you need to step in. Right? You're just right on the fringes. You just are, your toes are right up next to the water, but you haven't put your feet in. You don't want to get wet. You're waiting. You're wandering. You know, today we've got these tables set up that you can sign up for these groups, and we're going to allow a little bit of room in the service for you to go and do that, to go sign up for a group, to get connected, to get plugged in. There's men's groups, there's women's groups, there's life groups. There's so many ways to get plugged in and connected. And it would be easy to find a way, probably with the 10 people that are sitting around you right now. You know, how, you know, are you connected? At the end of the service, you could stand up and say, are you guys plugged in anywhere? Is it good or do you hate it? Can I come? It doesn't have to be complicated, but this isn't something to think about. This isn't something to observe. This isn't something that we do anything but act on. We have to act. You have to put your feet in the water. And there's an opportunity for people to lead groups. There's opportunity for people to join groups, and they're all over. And so over here, everywhere but Franklin, and all the Franklin groups are kind of over here. And there's a really great men's group that's starting again that's called Wild at Heart Boot Camp. And if you haven't been through that, it's just a powerful experience. If you're a guy and you're like, man, I need a bunch of brothers around me to walk this out. It's a great place to get plugged in. So I'm going to close. Church, there's just not enough time left. You know, it makes me think about when Jesus is walking along and somebody comes up and says, hey, let me go bury my father first and then I'll follow you. And Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. Man, a funeral of your father seems like a big deal, doesn't it? It seems important, but there was nothing more important in that moment than to just drop it all and follow Jesus. There was nothing more important. And if you want to follow Jesus, you have to do what he did. And what Jesus did was he made disciples. If you want to learn about who Jesus is and grow in your walk with him, there are some things you will never learn until you start trying to give it away to other people. Yeah. So let me review. Investing in a deeper community is hard and it's risky. It will cost you something, but you are also designed for it. You need it, even if you don't realize it. Nobody should be trying to follow Jesus alone because we need each other. You don't have to know what you're doing to be available and to be willing to invest in a few. The Israelites crossed the desert and had the opportunity to step right into their destiny, but they missed the window. It wasn't until 40 years later when the next generation took up the call and they put their feet in the water. So I'm asking today that you would step up and that you would step in and that God would meet you there and do miracles in our midst. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we're grateful this morning. We're grateful for the community that we have here. Thank you, God, for the people that you've put in our lives already. And God, help us to step up and to step into what you've called us to. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please watch this video, and then you'll have time to kind of mill about and meet some home group leaders. We'll be standing out by the tables. But let's watch this video, and then you're dismissed.
I love being in a life group because it's all about relationship.
To do life together throughout the week, you know, outside of just Sundays.
Sometimes there's food, but mostly it's about caring and loving for one another.
To connect with local believers of different generations, to be able to ask for wisdom and advice.
Just having other people that'll help you in life.
Sometimes it is sharing life stories and difficulties and to watch the Holy Spirit give solutions for those problems.
And it creates a lot of love and bonding with one another.
In an instant, we could call and they could be there to help.
I love the relationship and the commitment you get with one another when you're together as a small group.
It's like having an extra family.
Amen, you're dismissed. Please go get plugged in. Life group leaders are all along the walls over here, and there's some people in the foyer.